Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
We bless your holy name. We thank you because you are our Father. We thank you for what you are doing at least. For all those testimonies, we give you all the glory. And we say thank you, Father. Lord, as we go on in this service, we ask that your counsel will stand. You will speak your words to us. The very words that have been prepared from the foundation of the world for this day. You will grant me utterance, O Lord, that I will not go with the enticing words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and power. Precious Holy Spirit of God, we welcome your presence here. We welcome your presence. And we thank you because we know your presence is here with us and our lives will never remain the same again. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name and everybody say, go ahead and shout, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please let me welcome the person beside you this morning. Ask them how's your week been. I want to believe it's been wonderful. Glory to God. It's been awesome around this Valentine period. We've been looking at the story of Amnon and Tamar. We've been looking at the story of Amnon and Tamar, and it's been extremely wonderful. On Friday, which is a Valentine's Day, we had a melodrama. And my, it was an awesome time before God. We had a melodrama about Amnon and Tamar. And we're having another one next Sunday, praise God. And that one has to do with Rahab the harlot. So Sunday morning, it's a melodrama. I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time. There are messages embedded in those stories that are extremely relevant to our generation. And God has given us a unique wisdom to present the story in some dramatic way so that we can really press home the truth in those scriptures. Amen. Yesterday evening we had a movie. We saw a movie. And this morning we continue with the story of Amnon and Tamar. I'm trusting God, trusting the Holy Spirit to help us in this service so that the areas of our lives that are relevant or that need some spiritual attention, that the Spirit of God will be able to reach you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can hear your amen.
Amen.
All right. Your amen is powerful because amen means so be it. So when a word of prayer or a word of prophecy is declared, okay, the more vociferous your amen is, the more loud, the more real it is, the more you are in agreement with that which you proclaim. Because in the realm of the spirit, in the things of God, in the kingdom of God, getting stuff, getting things is not so much about running around. It's about proclamation. It's about saying. It's about what you say. And so when your pastor stands on the pulpit to declare words, he's representing God. Most of the time, those words are not my words. They are the words of God. And so when you agree with it, you might say, somebody shout, amen. Say, that guy is fanatical. No, he's not being fanatical. He's being in agreement with what is being declared because that is what brings out the testimony. And this is also a reason why a lot of people don't receive. Because, you know, you just come with this nonchalant attitude and words of prayer are being declared. They are just posting there like poster color as cool as cucumber. It doesn't work that way. You agree. Hallelujah. So I declare you blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's not still there, but it's better than the other one. So I declare you blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That looks more like it. So this morning we continue with that story, and I'm sure God is going to help us in Jesus' name. Alright, the title of this message is A Life Cycle of a Love Life Without God. The life cycle of a love life that is without God. Of course, it's still the story of Amnon and Tamar. And while I was, you know, yesterday brooding on this scripture and asking God for a particular direction to go in this service, since we've looked at melodrama, we've seen a lot of narration, what am I going to say again this morning? So the Holy Spirit gave me some words. And you see, what if we want to look at the story of Amnon and Tamar in few words? Each of the verses will pick out a word to represent the event in that verse. And so that's how we're going to approach this scripture this morning. And so we begin from 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fierce sister. Praise God. And so, the word we have here is the word beautiful. Can you say with me, beautiful? Yes, beautiful. And this is how a lot of love stories begin. It begins beautifully. You saw this babe, and then you went to her. Can you be my girlfriend? She becomes your girlfriend. The story starts beautiful all of the time. It starts in a very beautiful way. Every relationship that ends bad, every marriage that goes and that ends up in divorce, every of those nasty experiences in relationship and marriage always starts beautiful. I saw a beautiful girl. I saw a handsome man. That's how it starts. Beautiful. And so, in the same way, that's the way it starts here. Absalom, son of David, had a fair sister. Church history tells us that Absalom and his sister, Tamar, were one of the most beautiful creatures of God ever created. That was because their mom, Maacah, was extremely beautiful. And we know that David was handsome as well. Two handsome man, beautiful woman came together and make beautiful babies. Absalom was said to be the most handsome man in Israel. Long hair, handsome. So, naturally, the sister will be beautiful too. So, Tamar represents all of beauty, dignity, anything adorable. And of course, innocence as well, because she was a virgin. And so this is where it starts from. And this is where our love life begins as well. Every marriage relationship that ends up bad at the end of the day always begins beautiful. If there was no beautiful within that story at the initial stage, you wouldn't have gone to that person in the first place. So it started beautiful. Now let's go to the next verse. Let's see the next verse. In verse 1b. Verse 1b. It says, whose name was Tamar? And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, when you see this, Amnon loved her. It looks okay. So the word there is okay. It's okay. You saw somebody you love. It's okay. I mean, you are of age. You are in your 20s. As a matter of fact, your mom is already disturbing you that she wants to carry a grandchild. So, you loved a particular girl. It's just okay. Can you say with me, okay? It's just okay. Just that, you see, beautiful, then okay. You see somebody beautiful or handsome, you started a relationship, and that's okay. And if it would just have remained like that, beautiful and okay, it would have been beautiful. It would have been awesome. But life tells us that things don't always remain beautiful and okay. Not always. Not all the time. Look at the next verse. Verse 2a. So from beautiful, we have okay, then it moves to the absurd. It's absurd because the Bible says that Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. So in this verse, it was introduced to us that the person he is actually in love with is his sister. Are you with me here? His younger sister, his half-sister. So, it becomes absurd from this point on. It becomes unreasonable. It becomes out of place. Because that is incest. Incestual relationship between Amnon and the half-sister. So, it's absurd because at this stage, we begin to see that the enemy is coming in. It was beautiful, it was okay, but very quickly it's moved from beautiful and okay to absurd. Why? Because we have an enemy of our soul. Everything is looking beautiful and then you relax, you don't pray, you don't go to church, you don't speak in tongues, you don't fellowship with God. Things are going to move very, very fast from beautiful to okay to absurd. Are you following me here?
Yes, sir.
Strange things will begin to happen. Unexpected problems will pop up. Why? Because there's an enemy of your soul. There's somebody who hates you, hates your guts. Who doesn't want you to sleep well? Who doesn't want you to rest? Who doesn't want you to make it in life? That person is the enemy of your soul. And so, part of the reason this moved very fast from beautiful to okay to absurd is because Amnon, in quote, has no covering, no mentor, no pastor, nobody to relate with, nobody to talk to. Let me have you know this, that when it comes to relationship and other areas of life, it's imperative that you get somebody who is above you that you have to talk to every time. Somebody who is a phone call away that you can get advice and sometimes a word of prayer from. Are you following me? When the Bible says God remembered us in our low estate, by his mercy. One of the ways he does that is through people who are above you, mentors and pastors. When you start out in a relationship and you try to hide it from the church leadership, from parents and from all that, most of the time it doesn't end well. Say, pastor, how did you know? I've been pastoring for 22 years, so I can tell you. It doesn't work. It doesn't always work. I remember when I got into a relationship when I was in school, nobody told me. I just felt it was the right thing to do. I went to meet my pastor before I got into a relationship. And it wasn't a pastor like that, it was just a fellowship head. And as a matter of fact, let me tell you how it is, he was also a student like me. The same level. He was an economist, but he was our pastor at that time in the fellowship, in the hall where I lived. So I went to him. And I shared my experiences with him, told him one of two dreams I had, and he encouraged me. He too just began a relationship, so it wasn't like a father in quote, but he was our pastor. When someone is your pastor, even if that person is younger than you, that person has an anointing to move you forward in life. That's the way it is. The children of Israel, God sent manna to them. They saw it. They said, what is it? Is it powder? Should we put it on our face? It. They were questioning. They didn't know what it was. It took Moses to interpret what was seen to them. He said, this is food. Take it and eat. So sometimes you need somebody above you to interpret aspects of your life that will translate to food on your table. Is somebody with me here this morning? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So absurd. Because he fell sick for his sister Tamar. He was vexed. Ordinarily, love shouldn't make you sick in the first place. Are you following me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Don't listen to anybody that says, well, I can't breathe again because I'm in love. That's asthma, okay? That's asthma. Somebody says, no, without you, I'm a dead meat. Without you, I would die. It's a lie. It's only Jesus that can die for you. That's that one guy. And his wife, shortly after wedding, 2 days after wedding, they were anonymous, and so they went to this game reserve where there are a lot of animals. All of a sudden, one of the animals, a lion particularly, broke out of the cage. They saw it from afar, and the lion gathered speed and headed for them. The husband removed his shoes. The wife said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to run." The wife said, "There is no way. Let's die together. This thing will catch us. Whether we run or we don't run." The husband said, "One person is good enough for food." See, there's no love in that marriage. There's no love there. Are you following me? There's no love there. One guy wrote a love note to one girl he was trying to date. He said, "I love you. I can die for you. I can do anything for you. I can cross the seven mountains for you. I can cross the seven seas for you. I can go into a volcano just because of you. Anything you want to do, I can die for you." He kept on writing a whole page of foolscap of I can. Then he ended his letter with, "I will see you tonight if it does not rain." So he can do all of that, but rain can stop him. So, the Bible says in 2b, go to verse 2b, from absurd we have forbidden. Because in verse 2 the Bible says, he fell sick for Samar. The B part says she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything. He thought hard. You see, let me tell you something. He knew that falling in love with his half-sister is wrong. But the Bible makes us to understand that he thought hard. That is to say, whenever you take something that is wrong and you begin to meditate on it, its possibility, after a while, it doesn't look forbidden to you again. That's how armed robbers rob banks. They strategize. Say, we go there. They meditate, they think, they plan. After a while, it looks so simple. Are you following me? And that's how people commit their first murder when they want to kill people. They meditate strongly on it. They've never killed before. So the first time the devil suggests, kill that person, say, "I can't do it." No, you can do it. You just take the knife. You hold it. You look at the person. Find the neck area. When the person is sleeping, you just go there. You just start. Bam, that's all. He meditates 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. After a while, the spirit of murder envelopes him. He's ready to kill. Are you following me? So he thought hard. So he moves from beautiful, look at how fast, from beautiful to okay, to absurd, to what? To forbidding. Go to the next verse. Verse 3a, Amnon had a friend. Let me ask your neighbor, really, really, really ask your friend. Who is your friend? That's a very powerful question, a golden question. Ask your neighbor, who is your friend? Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. Look at the last three words in the word friend. What's the last three words you find there? So your friend can determine your end. That's what it means. Friends are powerful. Miles Monroe said, look at five closest friends you have. Your five closest friends. Your inner circle. Look at them. Say, look at their future. If you don't like their future, it's time to quit that friendship. Why? Because you will end up where their future is, you will never be able to rise above your circle of friends. Are you following me? If you are the smartest among your friends, guess what is happening? You are giving to them, they are giving nothing to you. You are adding to them, they are adding nothing to you. You are contributing to their lives, they are contributing nothing to you. So you've got to define relationships. There are friends, beautiful, that's on a parallel level. There are mentors and pastors, that's vertical relationship, from people you learn from. You must have a relationship with your pastor beyond Sunday and Wednesday, where you ask for wisdom. Are you here with me? Where you do what? You sit down and ask questions. If you don't do that, you will just be okay generally. Remember the disciples of Jesus. There are 12 disciples. Then there are three, Peter, James, and John. And out of the three, there was one, John, who will always lay his head on his bosom. He was the closest. He was the one that asked questions. He was the one that knows the heart of Jesus. And guess what? He was the only one who lived long out of all of them. All of them died, martyred. Some of them were crucified upside down. Some of them thrown into hot burning oil. Some of them were hanged upon trees on the street and lighted and just burnt away. They called them human torch in those days in Rome. So they all died this kind of death. But for John, who was closest to Jesus, he probably had somewhere asked questions about long life. I'm telling you the truth. Because they also took him and threw him into burning oil. Church history tells us that he won't be burnt. They did every kind of manners, methods to kill him. He won't die. So he was banished to the Isles of Patmos. And that was where he got the book of Revelation from that he gave us. Hallelujah. So it's powerful. You want to be careful about the kind of friends you have. If your friend is an aristo, you are already a risk. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of, if your friend is an armed robber, you are already robber. The only thing remaining is armed. Because your friend will influence you. That's why the Bible warns us about corrupt communication. The closest person that you have right now in your life, they are influencing you whether you like it or not. Do you have upward relationships where you drink from? Because the Bible says counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters. You need deep understanding to what? To draw it out. In other words, look, beyond what he said on Sunday, there are deep wisdom that is only provoked by the right question. Are you following me? Are you following me here? Look at the next verse, 3b. It says, and Jonadab, that's a friend now, was a very subtle man. Message translation says, exceptionally streetwise. Igboro, that's it. Wake up somebody. All those people that grew up in Oshodi, inside Oshodi, streetwise. I'm not saying they are bad people, but there's this thing they call street wisdom. I remember when I was in secondary school, I wasn't a street wise person. I was just that of my daddy or my mommy. The way they were chancing me in my school. One guy collected money from me, said, we'll bring hot dog following day. The way I see him, I should have known that he has never seen hot dog in his life. Never have you. Are you following me here? Streetwise, that's who Jonadab is. You don't need a streetwise friend. You need a Bible-wise friend. Because a streetwise person, subtle man, they don't look for counsel before they get it. And it's wrong counsel. He doesn't need to see him. Just tell him, so you are kind of tripped. This guy is intelligent. But street wisdom. Street wisdom. So you ask a street wise guy, I want to pay my tithe. He said, tithe. You are not smart. Let's go to Amalapolaris. Let's just visit the place first. Now, when you eat, sense will return to your head. And so he helps you to finish your tithe there. Are you following me here? You don't need a streetwise person. Because the nemesis of Amnon began with this guy. Go to the next slide. It says there in 4a. He said unto him, why thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Will you not tell me? So this guy seems caring, right? But I call it uncaring care. Go to the next slide. And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. Now, did Amnon tell him the truth? I'm not telling the truth. That was the truth. And that's how powerful friends can be. Because if it's his dad that comes and says, I'm not, what's wrong with you? It's malaria. But to a friend, I love her. So you want to be careful. See, you will always tell your friends the truth. In fact, most of the time, do you know your friends know 90% of what your parents don't know about you? Your friends know. Your friends know. But the problem with that is that your friend will only advise you based on what he knows. And he doesn't know as much as you don't know. Are you with me? Can I have handheld mic? So the Bible says here, it says, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. Go to the next slide. He says, and Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed, make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto me, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, give me meat, dress the meat in my side, that I may see thee. Now. This guy did not think before coming out with a solution. That's why I call it a demonic operation. It's a spur of the moment. I love Tamar, my sister. Is that it? Lady down the bed. Look at how I was giving him exact, like a dramatic instruction on what to do. Lady down on that bed. Make yourself sick. In other words, he was not sick. So he has to make himself sick. When your father cometh to see thee. Now notice that, first of all, the Bible tells us that he was already lame. It was appearing to him that something was wrong. Okay? That was why Jonadab first of all asked and said, why are you lean from day to day? Alright. So, already he was sick. And so the next thing here, he said, make yourself sick the more. You are not sick enough. It's only malaria you have. Add typhoid and coronavirus to it. He says, when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give him meat and dress the meat in my side that I may see it and eat it. Now listen to me, people of God. When you seek counsel outside of God, you are inviting demonic operation. Ordinarily, the devil is looking for you to trap you. Now, when you seek advice, for example, you have issues with your wife or with your husband, and then you go and seek advice from an adulterous guy. What kind of advice do you think he will give? There's no demonic operation there. He says, it's because you are faithful to her now. That's why she's doing cheat on her. You see, she will correct her. He says, is that it? It's a streetwise advice. Go to the next verse. Next slide, rather. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. Only God knew what he did. And ladies, that is why you should know that guys can go to any extent to get you. Guys, forgive me, okay? But we are talking about Tamar. Amen? A guy, when he makes up his mind that I'm going to date this girl, if you like, carry fire on your head. Are you following me here? Look at guys shaking their heads. Yeah, that's it. Guys, don't give up. Go, you propose, you snub him, you say, sure, I'm coming back. So, the Bible says here that he made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, David had the Spirit of God, and yet he could not discern that his son was pretending. That means whatever Amnon did to himself was serious issue. He made himself sick. Are you following me? And told him, pray, let my sister come. I want you to notice.
and make me a couple of cakes in my sight. Say in my sight. That's the key word there. That's what he told his father. Don't let her make cake from home. Are you following me? Make cake in my sight. Alright? That I may eat at her hand. Can you see the request? Now, what we need to understand here, ladies especially, is that men are moved by sight. Can you say that with me? Men are moved by sight. A woman is not moved by sight. For example, if I tell you, as I was coming this morning, there is one man there on this side, and the man is naked though. When ladies are ready to go home, they can pass this side. They are not interested. But tell the guy. Now when I was coming, can you imagine, there's one woman there, she was naked. Even those who are meant to be pastors, they can excuse themselves. This is a deliverance case. Let's go and check. Why? Because men are moved by sight. They are moved by what they see. So the devil understands this. So you see our advertisement and everything, there must be one girl there who is half naked. Back then when I was growing up, before nudity start, you know this advert, I've forgotten the exact words, but it sounded ding 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 ding, super visco or super something. It's oil, engine oil they're advertising. You see this young girl clad in a very half naked dress with short knickers, and then she holds the engine oil and then she's wiggling her bum bum. What are they trying to do? They are trying to catch the attention of men. But really, if they want to advertise, who should they use? Should be a motor mechanic. Mechanic don't dress with bum shorts and wiggling their bums. It won't repair the car. But they put that there because, you know, that's what will make them see. So we have sex everywhere. Are you following me? So men are moved by what? Sight. So you say, I want to greet my fiancé. I don't even understand him. He was touching me anyhow. What kind of clothes did you wear? I'm not exonerating him. But what kind of clothes did you contribute to it? You wear some clothes that is so tight, hugging you like no man's business, you can barely move. You want to climb back, do like this. You always want to tell Okada to carry you. Why are you stressing your life? The jean is so tight that it took you 1 hour, 15 minutes to remove it. You are first of all have to put nylon underneath. I know your number, ladies. Put nylon, rub oil. Is it necessary? Are you still here with me? So what's the kind of stuff you wear? The V-neck is going down. The slit in the skirt is coming up. May they not meet one day. So you wear this kind of stuff to go to your fiancé because it's the head of prayer. By 8 p.m. because you want to do prayer of agreement. The moment you go there, the guy knows that, yes, there's battle tonight. So you start praying. And he won't tell you what's going on in his life. I can't say in his head, but in his life. He won't tell you. You shall know that the tongue that night is extremely powerful. Eyes are turning red. See, the anointing is on the brother. You don't know that he's coping with what he's seeing. Because men are moved by sight. Let me tell you how bad it is, ladies, because you don't understand. If you a half naked girl passes here in a moment, the guy is ready for sex in less than 10 seconds. See, because it's not the same way with you, your body wiring, you don't understand these things. So you dress anyhow.
you are looking at baby, baby, oh sweat, baby, oh sweat. It's what you are wearing. My friend. Baby, you are shedding sweat. He's going to sweat. He's going to stammer. You say, ah, baby, baby, when did you start stammering? It'd be normal. It's the kind of stuff you wear. And you guys, sometimes you deceive yourself. Let me tell you the kind of person I am. Somebody wears anything uncomfortable around me, I tell the person to go and change. I really don't have time. I tell you to go and change. Or go and cover it. To what intent must everybody see what is meant for your husband? To what intent must you advertise your flesh, your laps, your cleavage? Cover it. We are not interested. We want to make heaven. Say amen. Amen. Don't wear things so tight that your bum, everything is hot. The brother cannot concentrate in church. You ask him after some, was it Samuel? Shall preach. Shall preach me. And you're like, shall preach Bao. Men are moved by what is it? The Bible says David went to the roof of the house at the time kings went to war, and he was taking a stroll, and then he saw a woman taking his bath. At that moment he was ready for sex. The next thing, use this kingly authority. If you don't think where, are you following me here? Samson, he went down to Timnath. He saw an allot there. He went in unto her. He went to have sex with her. See the kind of language the Bible uses for sex. He went in unto her. That's how ladies allow any kind of man to come in into you. Oh, is somebody here with me today? Is that I'm a little bit angry this morning. Praise God. Don't mind me. And ladies, you need to understand. Most of the time, the ladies are in control. Except for a few times, if there is demonic involvement, is the lady asking for sex now? Is the lady doing it like Jezebel? Because she's been sexually active over and over and over again. But you know there's healing in Jesus. And you can't live your life like that. No. Come on, say no. No. You can't. You can't open your laps for everybody. Everybody who wants access. When you are no access bank, you give them access. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. So understand that men are moved by sight. So men, you need to know, you need to take care about what you see, and ladies, you need to take care about what is seen. That's why Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:28, if any man look at a woman lustfully, is look. If any man look at a woman lustfully, he says he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. Are you still with me? Go to the next verse. We've stayed long on that. So then David sent home to Tamar without even questioning his son. He sent home to Tamar saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress in meat. Go to the next verse. Next slide, please. Obedient and naive. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house and it was laid down. She took flour and kneaded it. Look at the emphasis. And he made cake in his sight. Let me tell you, ladies, be careful of what you do in the sight of guys. Be extremely careful. He said, what has kneading a cake got to do? You know what it means to knead a cake? You bend down. and you make this back and forth movement as you are kneading it, going back and forth, and all the while Amnon was imagining, this girl can't escape, she's in trouble today. All his body, all his adrenaline was flowing to the maximum as he was baking the cake. Watch what you do in the sight of guys. You go to a guy's house to go and cook. Are you married? Notice Tamar's problem began with cooking. That cooking in quotes. You say, my hobby is cooking. And then at home, your mommy say, come and cook. You say, mommy, I'm busy. I have a project. But for guys, it's your hobby. You need to be careful. Want to cook for yourself and eat at home. Praise God. Are you following me? Don't go and cook in a man's house that you are not married to. You go and cook in his sight, and he's living in one room apartment. Bending down, putting salt, doing everything up and down. Ladies, can you hear me? And guys, why must you invite a lady to come and cook for you? Are you married? Have you paid a bride price? Or did she say she's a cook? Did she tell you that her job is to be cooking up and down? You say, the way you cook your beans, I just like it. And you know, beans takes a long time. I go call Shano in his sight. It's like I'm declaring some of the atrocities that some of you have committed. The Holy Spirit knows your number. Are you following me this morning? Don't go and cook for anybody. Don't go and play small mommy for a guy you are not married to. And then you are washing singlets, boxers. Your mommy must not see that. She will cry. She will really cry that what happened? Who caused us in this family? No, it's not funny. It has made her beautiful to okay to absorb, forbidding, and now it's demonic. Now somebody will leave UI and miss lectures, sit down on that BC on Banjo University to be cooking for a guy. Say, Pastor, that doesn't happen. It happens. When I was on campus, ladies will come. Because they say all of over 200 boys. They come from different campuses. Ladies looking good. Not poor looking girls. I mean, goodly. And they will sit down there. And they will live there 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And one day, one of the guys was beating the girl with belts. There was one that went to collect the belts from me. I said, no, you don't do this. I was beating her for whatever reason. One particular night, two girlfriends came for one guy. And I'm not kidding. The guy was running up and down. He came to meet me in my room because I live in a one-man room. He came to meet me. He said, I said, what is it? What is it? He said, Joe, kidney, so... Please, I need your help. I say, so what is it? Actually, you know, there is a girl and there's another girl. I just need your room so that, you know, she can be here. And the other one, I said, my room. Rishka, Lazy, Belshano, Sakalia. My room or my bed. Le Grisia, Mantoshi, Kabatasaka, in my room. That was how I was replying it. It was just moving back. Until the left. What to carry? I should leave my room so that you bring. It doesn't work like that. Are you following me here? Ladies, have some dignity. Have a good self-esteem of yourself. Listen to me, ladies. If you give sex to any man to keep that man, if you are not careful, you are going to lose him. Sex don't keep nobody. The day he starts having sex with you, your value is diminishing. Your self-worth is going down. He's thinking, he said, did that girl so easy? So easy. Meaning that she must be cheating on me. I can't be the only one she's sleeping with. I see, she didn't even see me. Ha! Jesus. Men are logical. That's what he's thinking. I can't be the only one. The way I just access it, like he access man. Ha! No, I can't be the only person. I can't be the only client. I can't be the only customer. So he's thinking, he said, I will marry her. Let's just do boyfriend and girlfriend. Are you still with me? Go to the next slide. And she took a pan, that's verse 9, right? She took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. Now, at this stage, although it's his brother, but he should have known that something is getting abnormal here. Have all men out. When you have all men out, what else remains? The moment a guy is having all men out, leaving the two of you alone, you should know the next thing. Ladies in the house, can you say amen? Yes. Nobody will have sex on the street. All men must be what? Out. All of a sudden, there are about seven of you in the room. All of a sudden, okay, see, well, uncle, thank you. Number two. Number three, until you raise it to, and you are still sitting down, drinking juice. Or two sip juice, or comedy. Two of you remain. He even came back, locked the door, bam, at the bar. You still sat down, see, you didn't see. You say, this Tom and Jerry. This is Tom and Jerry. Have all men out. You should be alive. You should be suspecting. You should be quick. There's a new back song we used to sing when we were growing up. See, I went to a good nursery school, Bati school, but my primary school is Ahajabi Bata school. So we learned this song. Okumero me otojubole. How did you know it? I tell you the people are Bati. You even know everything. Now, calm down. It's not praise worship. Calm down. Now, look at that song. Before it gets to that, it's just it's just going back and forth. I like you, you know. That's Okumero me. Otojuboli me. When the song changes level, you should not be in that room again. You work only. You are still there. Reading magazine. Have all men out. Tamar should have woken up. That something is wrong here. Look at the next slide. Verse 10. And Amnon said to Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber. Look at it. After he sent them out from the main hall or room or whatever it is, he now said, let's retire into the chamber. That I may eat of them. And Tamar took the cakes which he had made and brought them to the chamber. Amnon, her brother. Chamber. Listen to me, ladies. Never ever in your life. It's an instruction. I'm not advising you. Never ever in your life enter a man's chamber who you are not married with. There's nothing they do in the chamber except sex. And once you are inside this chamber, for you to escape, it will take God, because you are already in his territory. It's a series of events that leads to that. You did not just disappear from the street in Agbogbo and land in chamber. No, you took back yourself. You knock on the door. You enter the sitting room. They give you drink. You say, let's go inside. You now follow to the chamber. What do you want to go and do there? Prayer vigil. that somebody invites you and say, okay, let's meet in the guest house. What do you think they do there? Those are chambers. Are you following me here? Go to the next verse. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said, come, lie with me. So he got there and he was not going to force her. It was just an appeal. And that's how it works. Guys, who first of all appeal to your emotions. You know you are the only one I love. If the man is married, he will tell the lady, you know, I don't like my wife. That's what married. Now I've counseled a lot of people. You know, I don't like that woman. If I've met you, it's a lie. If I've met you before I met my wife, I've married you. Even whatever I'm doing, it was special. Come lie with me, my sister. Next verse. At this point, a man knows that and she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not doubt this fully. So we know that in Israel, incest is not acceptable. Look at the next verse, verse 13. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? As for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. You know, Tamar was even suggesting to him that, okay, alright, it's okay, but just talk to our father. Even though it's incest, but it's the king now, he can do anything, he can allow us to marry and we'll be okay. She was trying to appeal to him that, you're my brother, don't let's do this. We don't have to compromise. She said, but what I want you to see here is that, look, as a lady, the place to introduce logic and start begging is not in the chamber. If ever before you enter any chamber, this relationship, you are asking me out, I hope you know there is no sex. He will say, I know. Say, he does not know. It's over. I'm not interested. This kind of discussion is not inside the chamber. It's too late. The guy has probably removed his clothes. Somebody has been planning something, making himself sick since when? You are not saying, let's talk to father in your chamber. Don't go into any man's chamber. Don't go and help him lay the bed. Are you following me? See, we're going back by lady. Hopefully, 5 came back by your eye. Who sent you on their hand? Be careful, ladies. Be careful. Watch where you go. Look at the next slide. Next slide. Albeit will not hearken unto our voice, but be stronger than her. She forced her and lay with her. So, in essence, Amplified Version, Message Translation say he raped her. So it was a forced sexual relationship at that point in time. And whenever there is anything like rape or sexual abuse, listen to me, it's a terrible thing that goes deep down. The damage goes deep down into the person that is involved, that it takes only God to heal. As a matter of fact, if the person who is involved in rape is not careful, series of rapes will happen over time again. Another thing that happens is that she will now be the one who is interested in sex, looking for men to have sex with. Why? Because she has been forcefully violated, and the process that should take place immediately such thing happens has not taken place. And I will tell you what needed to be done towards the end of this message. Go to the next verse, verse 15. He says, then, this is after he's done what he did, Amnon hated her exceedingly. Please, think about it. How can you love somebody so much to the point that the Bible says you are vexed? Some translation says you are obsessed with this lady. And immediately after having sex, having your way, you now hated her so much. And Amnon said to her, arise, be gone. Is that not what most guys do? Have sex with you and then quit the relationship. So what's the point? What's the point? This is a real state of mind for Amnon. He never wanted Tamar. He just wanted a taste of her. He just wanted sex. Go to the next verse. Next verse. Quickly. Be quick, media. Be quick, be quick, be quick. And she said unto me, there is no cause. This evil is sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But we're not hacking onto her. See, most ladies think him now listen, because he has had sex with me, he will marry me. The answer is no. That was what Tamar was thinking here. She be you've had sex. Now don't send me away. I'm now your wife. He said, you will not hearken unto her. Because he thought, well, the deed has been done. So you go and carelessly give your body out to a guy in the bid to hold him for marriage? It doesn't work. Your body is not given to you to become an insurance tool to ensure marriage. And if I sleep with you, you will marry me. Who says? Who says? No lady is respected as much as a lady who keeps herself. The question is, what about those who are violated when they didn't know at age 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? It's not their fault. Jesus can bring healing so much. Even though you are not a virgin physically speaking, but he can restore that spirit of virginity in case there was something that happened that you are not in control of. And a whole lot of ladies are in that category. Lesson teacher, gate man, even the same for guys as well. Some guys were abused. One of my friends was abused by their house help from age 5. When the house help is taking his bathroom for them, she began to play with his penis. By the time he was 9 years old, had his first sex with the house help and continued having sex till he was 17. By the time he entered university, nobody could hold him down. He was a reckless human being, having sex all over the place, pointing nozzle every available place, until he gave his life to Jesus. Are you following me here? Sometimes the reckless sexual life we have comes from where? From what happened. Rather than yield yourself to it, well, it's not my fault, and then continue to flow with it. No, you need Jesus to come into your life and intervene and break that cycle. Because if you are not careful, what happened to you will happen to your children. It flows. It flows from generation to generation. Go to the next slide. I need to round up because of time. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put this woman. And can you imagine? It's not this woman. Before, my sister. Now it's this woman. Why? Because he had violated her. He has accessed her. This room, that's what guys do when they have sex. How do I know? See, my room was the biggest in our hall. Before I moved to a one-man room upstairs, where the biggest room, guys will come there every night to discuss their sexual escapades. They mention the girls they slept with, the way they tear those girls apart and mess them up as if they are sexual toys. You go around have sex with one guy and you think, yeah, we are together. We are not together. Gotta make up your mind on this. Look at the next verse. She had a garment of diverse colors upon her. With such robes were the king's daughter. With the king's daughter that were virgins apparel, then the servants brought her out and bolted the door of the garment of diverse colors. Everybody has a garment of diverse colors in the realm of the spirit. And every time you start compromising around, you are messing up that garment. Go to the next verse. Verse 19. And Tamar put ashes on her head, rent a garment of diverse colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. See, the mistake Tamar made here, with tore her clothes. It's a physical representation of an expression of the pain within. If I tear this clothes, I can tear this rape event away. Maybe if I tear this clothes, I can. People that were raped or abused, one of the things they usually do is to go and sit down in the bathroom for hours, under the shower, trying to wash away the death. Unfortunately, the death is within. Guys that rape ladies, you don't know the kind of permanent dent and damage you put on those ladies. There's going to be judgment for such, unless Christ comes in between them. It's only Jesus Christ that can rearrange the equation. You rape a girl? Oh my God. Because what happened to the children of David? Look at it. Amnon slept with Tamar. Absalom now killed Amnon 2 years after, and then you think Absalom must be a righteous person for avenging. But after a while, Absalom chased his father off the throne and slept with 10 concubines of David on the roof. The Bible says, in the presence of the whole of Israel, everybody was watching him. He was bringing the women one by one, sleeping with them, trying to impose himself as the new king. On the very roof, David saw Bathsheba and called her to commit the first adultery. So this thing happened because of an harvest from what the father did. Now look at it. Tamar, who is innocent, who doesn't know anything, became a victim of her father's error. She went on crying. Literal Hebrew tells us she never stopped crying till she died in her 80s. She never married. She never interacted with the larger society. She remained in her late brother's house all her lifetime. Look at the next verse. Look at the word the Bible used. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, "And Amnon thy brother be with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. Is your brother, regard not this thing." That's what we usually tell rapists, that rape victims. "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Forget it." But it doesn't work that way. They don't. So now look at it. Tamar remained desolate in her brother's house. When the Bible says she went on crying, she never stopped crying, and she was desolate all her life. All her life. All her life. Go to the next slide. Let me show you something. The word desolate, that's the evil word there, shamem, is a primitive root that means to stone, to grow numb. So she became numb to life. Devastate, stupefy, destroy self, lie down, waste away. Because of a singular sexual abuse. Listen to me, people of God. A lot of people here in this auditorium who have been sexually abused as well. Maybe not exactly like Tamar, but something similar. And you've kept it inside. You've taken the advice of Absalom. "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry. Just go to my house." And you've seen yourself take wrong decisions after wrong, and you've been asking yourself, "Why am I doing this? This is wrong. Why am I doing this?" You know why? It's a place of desolation. You are lying down. It's a wasting away process. It's a wasting away process. Only if Tamar knows that, yes, the damage was done, but Amnon is gone. Even Absalom is gone. Let me gather myself. I'm a royal child. Royal blood flows in me. I can't just stay desolate all my life because of one singular event. I was raped, yes. But there's God's mercy. I don't have to live a desolate life in court. My life doesn't have to take a wrong turn because of something that happened when I was 7 years old. My life doesn't have to stop. I I don't have to become a promiscuous individual because I was violated before I reached the age of accountability. I don't have to become a sexual dog because of a mistake in my past. I've got to move out of desolation. I've got to move out of desolation. I can't die desolate. Tamar, desolate, disflowered, dishonored, discovered, dismantled, discarded, disadvantaged, desolate. But she's not destroyed. She's not destroyed. There's no event in this life that can destroy you unless you destroy yourself. Don't put ashes on your head all your life. Rise from the doldrums of yesterday and get into the life and the victory of Jesus. Let healing flow into your life. Can you understand it? Let healing flow. All eyes closed. I just want to minister to a few people here. To a few people. If you look at your life and you feel, I think I've been desolate because of this and that has happened, it's God's healing power to set free. I mean, you can just be free. That negative trend will be terminated by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. All eyes closed. If you are like that, put up your right hand. Let me see. I want to pray for you quickly. You know it. I need to get out of this desolation. I need healing. This and this and this that happened in my life because of one wrong thing that happened in the past. You got to shout no more to me. No more, no more, no more. I break out of this oppression. If you're like that, put up your hand. I want to pray for you quickly. God's power is going to set you free. Is there anybody I'm praying with? Quickly, quickly, quickly. I want to pray. I want to pray for you. Anybody, put up your hand. Let me see. Unless God's power set you free. There's nothing to be shy about here. It's about your life. And I don't know when there's going to be this kind of anointing again. God bless you. I see those hands. I want you to come and meet me here. Come and meet me here. If you're in that category, there's nothing to be shy about. You should be proud of your past. Whatever happened has happened. The most important thing is that the future is going to be bright. Come and meet me here. Bring me that bottle of anointing oil. We're going to break that oppression. Come and meet me here. There's nothing to be shy about. It was in a meeting that deliverance began for me. Because I used to have bad dreams. It was in a meeting that man of God said, there's somebody come out here. And the moment I came out, he prayed, that was the end of it. Some of you don't know the kind of anointing that is resident in church. In moments like this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You find yourself having waves of depression. You don't know where they are coming from. That's where it's coming from. You need healing. You need healing. If you have been abused, just come and let God heal you this morning. Ramu Shakati Sabahaya. If you are joining them, please do before I start praying. I don't want anybody to come again when I start praying. If you are joining them, quickly. Cynthia, go and stand here. If you are joining them, please do quickly. Let the power of God set you free. Those of you here, I want you to forgive whoever needs to be forgiven. It might look like a hard process, but it's something you have to do. Forgive the abuser. Forgive whoever violated you. Forgive. If it's more than one person, forgive them. Let them go. You will not be desolate. No, you won't. The Spirit of God tells me that there are still a lot of people here in the audience who are in this situation. You are just simply shy. Don't come and meet me after the service. Come here now. Let the Spirit of God set you free. There's nothing to be shy about. Come and stand here now before I start praying. And let God's power set you free.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.